Awesome. Just give another hand for the conference. I'd like to thank every one of you that was part of making it happen. So many people that helped. There was well over 600 volunteers that put that together. What was so amazing, it was really convergence in action. Believers from across the world, all the Shofar churches coming together from the UK, Namibia, South Africa, all over the place, coming together to make it happen. It was truly a spectacle. Something that we can as a family be proud of, and just trust the Lord that it can just grow from here, and that more and more people from all denominations and everywhere will be able to come to convergence, and that it will be a place also where really a lot of unbelievers can come to meet with the Lord. So yeah, I just want to thank Kira, my wife, Melissa, and Rob, and the youth for their item there, the dance at the conference, and there was so many people that helped. Thank you guys so much for that. So I was super blessed also by just the input of that we received at the conference, and it was really in many respects confirmation of a lot of things that the Lord has already birthed in our hearts here in Tableview as well, and things that we've begun trying to implement practically through the small groups and so on. Rick Rousseau spoke about, you know, getting into the stream. There's a stream in front of our homes. There's a stream in our neighborhoods, in our cities. There are needs out there that we are blinded to in many respects. And he spoke about, you know, moving from the aisle seat to the window seat of the plane, just to be able to first that we trust God to open our eyes to see the need out there and to see the wealth of resources that we as the church have. Ultimately, God will hold the church accountable and responsible for the state of the world. As believers, we get the country that we deserve. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. So as the church, we are firstly called to pray, but then prayer always leads to action as well. And God has really blessed us with skills and resources. I mean, we had engineers, you know, setting things up at the conference. We had interior design experts, you know, helping with the decor, you know, and IT experts and all of these, you know, we have a tremendous resource of wealth in the church, and that is primarily human resources. And so, as a church, we are equipped better than government to be able to deal with the issues. And we've spoken about this before in church, but, you know, this came through strongly at conference, just getting into the stream and starting to make a difference. And the title of the message tonight is also kind of just galvanizing that idea to the place where we realize that we are called to be the difference. We are called to be the difference because we have got something more than what the government has got. We've got greater resources at our disposal. We've got riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We've got Christ inside. And what the world needs more than a handout, and sure, the church is there for mercy ministry. What the world needs more than that is to see Jesus, and the government cannot give them Jesus. The church can give Jesus. So we must not only make a difference, we must be the difference. We must be Jesus. No one else is equipped and has been commissioned to be Jesus other than the church of Jesus Christ, because we have Christ inside. And so, Romans 12, verse 2, just that first section says, don't be conformed to this age. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't look the same as your colleagues and neighbors, as the people out there that don't know Christ. We have been called to a new life. We've been called in a new direction. We've been given a new nature. But there's this battle that rages within, because we have an old man, an old nature that has been dead and buried, and emphatically and symbolically so through baptism, that the enemy wants us to remind us of, that wants to rise up and stand up and you know, go for the temptations and this and that. But we need to walk in the Spirit of God, because we've been given a new nature. We've been born of the Spirit. We are a new man. Those who are in Christ, new creations. And so we need to remind ourselves that we have been called to a different life, a new life. We've been called out of this world. You see, we're still living in the world, but we're not of this world. We've been separated from the world, separated unto God. This is what the world around us needs to see. Do not be conformed to this world. It takes a dead fish to go with the flow. It takes a live one. What is it? Salmon or trout that swims upstream, jumping upstream, you know, going up to towards the source. And that is what we have been gifted in. That we actually have the ability. God said, we'll never allow you to be tempted beyond your means to resist. When our mates all want to go and do something that we know is not going to bring glory to God, that we know is sin, we have the power within to say, no thanks, I'm going to do this. Why don't you consider joining me rather in this? We can be different. We must be different. Peter quotes the Old Testament scriptures. He says, be holy even as I am holy, God said. We can live holy lives. We can set the standard. We can reveal Christ to people. Isn't that the biggest compliment that one can ever receive when someone comes up to you and says, you look like Jesus, and they're sincere about that. Now, I had a couple of those compliments, and I appreciate that my beard helped a lot. I had this massive beard when I, you know, before I was courting Charlene, and she actually got to know me with a beard, so she really loves me because it didn't look good. And so, you know, that is just an awesome thing when we can really be that exact representation of Christ in the world. When people can see Christ in us. And you know what? That brings hope. And you will be the person that they will turn to when the chips are down. We need to give people that option. We need to give them that alternative. Let not the enemy keep us mute and silenced and crippled in our places of work. Let us live out our faith wherever we go. We are not those who are Sunday Christians. We're not event-driven Christians. The events are generally celebrations or discipleship training opportunities. But we are encouraged to surrender our whole lives. God deserves your Monday to Sunday, your 24/7. He gave His all for us. Who are we to withhold anything? So I just want to encourage you in that. The new life that we were called to, it is a glorious one. And it is one that will be the difference. And it is one that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to live. We cannot do it in our own strength. And we all have Christ inside. But there's certain sometimes there's blockages and we hinder the working of God through our lives. And tonight is maybe about considering those things. Why? Why if I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, do I struggle to witness over my lunch hour or when I meet a stranger that is in need or whatever? Why do I struggle? What is it? Is there a vestige of pride there? Is there fear of man? What will they think of me? Because, you know, I'm very aware that not everyone is the biggest fans of Christians or whatever. No, you know, we need to lay these fears down and these doubts. We need to start living flat out. We have one life and it is short and we don't know where we're going. And I so love what Philip could share with us tonight. You know, life is short and we just praise God for that man's life. And we don't know when our time here is up, but we've got this one life in which to prepare for an eternity. We've got this one life in which to practice glorifying God. And when we are out there living out our faith, faith without works is dead. Now, we don't do works in order that we may go to heaven. We understand that. We do works because we are grateful, because of what God has already done for us, and because it's a joy to do that. And so, when we are out there, the Word says, when they see your good works, they will glorify your Father in heaven. When we converge, when we love one another, when brethren dwell in unity, when they see the love that we have for one another, brings glory to God. I really enjoy Dr. Cornet's ministry. He's always got so many stories, and he's a bit like T.N.C. Jacobs, a fan of church history. And he shared a bit about St. Francis of Assisi, sort of beyond what most of us knew about him. But he said how, you know, he was, before he got saved, he was a man of wine, woman, and song. And I think as you did in the day, you went to church on a Sunday, because there was no reruns of yesterday's matches on TV. There was no TV. So you went to church, and he heard a sermon about Jesus sending out the 70 and everything they accomplished for him, the healings, the deliverances. And he was really intrigued by this, and he went to speak to the priest afterwards. And then he just decided he's going to just start doing that. You know, this was something he didn't realize, that there's actually a different lifestyle. And that what Jesus did, we have also been called to do by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And he went out in the power of God, and there were many healings. And he kind of took it to extreme. You know, he would go and seek out lepers and hug them and kiss them and wash them, and then drink the water that he washed them with. And you know, just to demonstrate his love. Now, we don't have to do that drinking part, but please don't. Not when I'm standing close by. But he says we often got it wrong, because we often quote St. Francis say, preach the gospel and if necessary use words. But what he actually said was, preach the gospel and if necessary use a few words. It truly is more about our lifestyle, about our deeds. Walking the talk. Don't just talk the talk, walk the talk. People need to see Christ in us. Because you pass a lot of people in the street, a lot of people watch you doing good deeds that you won't have opportunity to speak to one-on-one or directly. And while you're doing a good work, many people around that aren't directly impacted by that can also bring glory to God and see something of Jesus in you. So often, you know, when I've witnessed to people on the benches in the malls and so on, I mean, there's always a lot of people around, and you always see the people kind of on the other benches and sitting behind you kind of leaning in and listening, you know, and after you've shared with a person and prayed with them and they've gone on their way, then, you know, so often you'll just see people saying thank you for that, or, you know, other people saying, wow, you know, that really blessed me as well, and, or please pray for me. And really, through our deeds, what people can see from afar off, we can be very effective witnesses to the love of Christ. So I just want to encourage us in that. Don't let anything hold us back. We are new creations. We are living a new life in Christ. Remember Romans 6, the old man has been dead and buried. You left him behind in the waters of baptism. That was a funeral. The new man is now living. Let us not submit to the enemy. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Okay. And so, if we're talking about being the difference, about conforming, not conforming to this world, well, the Bible tells us a few chapters before what we should conform to. Romans 8, that we were predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, of Jesus Christ. Now Paul, he doesn't often, or I don't think he uses the word disciple in his letters. He speaks of imitating Christ. So that is almost a better definition of a follower of Christ or of a disciple. You know, we often think of a disciple as merely a follower, someone who will spend some time in the Word and talk to God, but it's more than that. It's, as I said, we're talking here about a lifestyle. We're talking about imitating, doing what Jesus did. You know, it's the WWJD, What would Jesus do? It's a very good reminder to have. And Jesus, as in all things, was our supreme example. He was servant leader. And as His children, as His friends, as His servants, how much more so have we been called to serve? Where He laid His life down for us. He says in His Word, no greater love is anyone than this, than to lay down one's life for your friends. And we have been empowered through the Holy Spirit to be able to do that on a daily basis. And so I want to encourage you, it's about humility, about following Jesus' example. He is a humble king. Humility simply, it's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Thinking of others more. Putting others' needs before our own. It's about waking up, getting out of this comfort zone that we find ourselves in. It's about devaluing the material things around us. Placing greater value on Christ. Where He becomes our treasure. Where you would sell, give away, do away with everything you have just so that you can have Christ. Where Jesus tells the parable of the man who found the buried treasure and he sold everything he had to buy the field that the treasure was buried in. Christ is your number one. So there's two of us in this equation, as us and as Christ, and we've been called to conform. There's one that needs to change, and that's us. And that change begins in our hearts. It begins with a desire, yes, Lord, I want to live like You. Yes, Lord, I want to do away with these hindrances and these things that hold me back and prevent me from serving You. These things that mute me when I want to share with people, but somehow this fear comes over me. Lord, I want to, tonight, I come and lay down those fears. Come lay it down at the cross and I take up the life You want me to live. Jesus, I want to be like You. I want to do what You did. I want to imitate You. This is what a child of God is. This is what a disciple is. An imitator. And so we've got a lot of Christians in churches all over the world that are not true disciples because there hasn't been a change of heart. The Lord is the only one that can change our hearts. We couldn't change our own hearts. But what we can do, and what we do sometimes do, is we deliberately withdraw, deliberately prevent God from working in us. We hang on to certain things that upon consideration we realize it's not of God. This is a distraction. This is a blockage. And so tonight we're going to share in communion together. And in the church in centuries gone by where believers actually thought that as you take it, becomes the flesh, becomes the blood of Christ. We recognize these are only symbols. But the Lord commanded us to partake of this is a holy sacrament, one of two, baptism being the other one. And it's all about the cross, all about remembering who Jesus is, what He did for us. So as we partake of the communion tonight, what I want us to remember and meditate on is the fact that as we take it in, we already have Christ inside. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We have been empowered to live godly, holy, Jesus-like lives. So I want to encourage you in that. There's grace and freedom in God's house. This is not a condemning message. This is a message of rejoicing, saying that there is enablement, there's empowerment to lay down those distractions and those hindrances. Even here tonight. If you are ready, because God is a gentleman and it only comes by invitation. So He won't force Himself on anyone. He's given us free will. Otherwise, the whole world would have been saved a long time ago. But God didn't want it that way. He wants us to choose Him. He wants us to allow Him to work in us. So yes, God is always at work in us, but we can very often hinder or slow down that process to a snail's pace. As believers, yes, we will all be glorified when the Lord comes back, but hey, let's try and get as close to that marker as we can before He comes back. It's not about arriving or thinking we're better than anyone else, but it's about allowing Christ and His plans to be fulfilled through our lives. It's for others, really. That is why we are still here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to serve our King. And so, if I can ask the ushers to hand out the communion for us. Thank you. Dankie, Konradis. Let's just take a few moments and just consider those things that prevent you from living the life of Jesus wherever you go. Think of those things. Be it fear of man, pride, materialism, discontent. There's so many that one can name. But just think for you. Maybe just what are the top two things that you think, as the Holy Spirit enlightens us tonight, what that prevents you or hinders you? And we're just going to bring it before the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can look to You tonight. You are the author, You are the finisher of our faith. You're the one who saved us, who's given us a new life. And thank You, Lord, that we can wholeheartedly embrace this new life, knowing one day in Your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. But Lord, it's not a place where we come to You on our own terms, or where we negotiate with You, or where we withhold things from You, Lord. You're either Lord of all or You're not Lord at all. It's our heart's desire tonight, Lord, to lay down every distraction, every hindrance, Lord God, and to surrender to You, Lord. It's a place, Lord, where we once again count the cost of following You, Lord. Where we lay down temporary pleasures and selfish pursuits, Lord. Father, we ask for Your grace tonight, Lord. We've all fallen short. But we want to thank You, Lord God, that Your arms are stretched wide open for us, even as they were at the cross, Jesus, where You've called us, beckoned us unto You, Lord. Where You've forgiven us, knowing that we don't really understand. Thank You that tonight once more we can come around Your Word and that we can look You in the eye. Thank You, Lord God, that You've empowered us. You've given us a helper. You've given us Your Spirit. You've given us a new life. So Lord, we want to thank You for grace to overcome sin, grace to walk in your footsteps. Grace to be Jesus out there. Your first choice is to work through us, Lord. We know, Lord, there's a big city that needs saving. You've called us to pray for them. You've called us to love them through word and deed. So, right now, Lord, we just consider those things that hold us back. Come reveal to each one of us by your Spirit, Lord. Come and convict us, Lord, of the things that come in and steal. Where we allow the enemy to steal from this life that you've given us. Lord, we don't want the songs that we sing to be merely empty words. We want to mean it from our hearts. The place where you are our first love. We want to be like you, Jesus. We want to walk a closer walk. And not just for our sake, but for the many hundreds and thousands around us and that we'll encounter. That they can know this great love. So Lord, we bless the bread and the juice tonight. As symbols of your body that was broken for us and your blood that was shed, that our sins might be removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Never again to be imputed to us. So we thank you, Lord, that we have peace with you. We have freedom to live for you. It's not necessary that anything ought to hold us back. We have the power. We have the choice to follow you. So Lord, we ask you tonight that you will give us grace to surrender our hearts to you and to allow you to have your way in us. That place where we will come to you for instruction for the day. We will pray those dangerous prayers, Lord, use me. Lord, bring someone over my path that I can share with today. Lord, reveal a need to me today that I can meet. Help us, Lord, to help others. Let us eat together. Father, thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation here tonight. Thank you for your blood, which has made a way for us to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That we've been welcomed into your presence, Lord. We've been welcomed, even though we have fallen short, even though we are sinners, we've been welcomed. We've been saved. Through what you did for us at the cross. Thank you for your love, God. Lord, give us a greater love for those around us. Help us, Lord, to consider others before ourselves. We bless your holy name. Let us drink together. We can just keep our eyes closed, this attitude of worship. Maybe what I've shared briefly tonight is very challenging for you. Maybe it seems quite sort of foreign. maybe you don't really know this new life that I've referred to tonight. It begins at the place where we surrender to Christ, where we acknowledge and receive Jesus, what He did for us at the cross. Where we receive forgiveness. And it's a choice. And at that point, we enter into relationship with God. And this is the foundation, the basis upon which we are saved and we go to be with Him. We go to heaven one day. It's about knowing Jesus. But like any relationship, there's a starting point. From that point on, you are saved. And if you have not made that decision yet, no one's looking around, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for all of us here tonight. There's a second group that I want to encourage tonight. And that is where we realize, hey, but I really struggle to live like Jesus. I struggle to obey His voice. I know I have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit sure used to speak to me a lot. But I've kind of quenched His voice, and I hardly get reminded or asked to do things anymore. And it's one of the sins against the Holy Spirit, where we quench His voice because we have not honored or obeyed Him in the past, and He withdraws. And so our consciences are seared, and we can go on living a normal life that is more or less conformed to this world. And it's a place where we need to repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I've ignored You. I've ignored Your Spirit. But I want that once more. I want that intimacy with You. I want that place where I can hear Your voice, where I can sense Your prompting, where You deem me fit to use. So I lay down my own desires, my own plans, my selfishness, all of that, I lay it down, Lord. I'm ready to pray that prayer. Use me. And Lord, I won't be surprised when sometimes I feel used. And I'll thank You, Lord. Sometimes it's tough to serve You, Lord. You never said it was going to be easy. But Lord, I want that. I want the tough times, as long as it's serving You, as long as it's serving Your purposes. I want that, Lord. I don't want to live for myself anymore. And so again, no one looking around, you just raise your hand and say, Lord, that's me. I want a change of heart here tonight. I want a change of heart. Lord, help me. Come speak to me once more. Holy Spirit, come and speak to me. Father, forgive me for quenching Your Spirit. I want instruction for the day. I want to witness to people. I want to live a godly life. I want to be in Your service. So Father, I thank You, Lord, for these people, Lord. And I just pray blessing on them, Lord God. Thank You, Lord, that You honor their requests and their commitment here tonight. And so, Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, that You also just come and prompt them anew and come and remind them, come and help them to live for You every day, Lord. I pray unlocking of the deaf ears to Your voice. I pray renewed sensitivity to Your unctioning. And thank You, Lord, that we can all know we have been enabled and empowered to live like You in this world. We just give You praise tonight. Let's just give a shout of thanks to the Lord tonight. He's so faithful to us. Even when we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Let's just raise a shout of thanks. Thank You. thank you guys very much. We've got some extra time tonight to eat cupcakes and banana bread. Okay.